joy this morning to open up the Word with you. As a kid growing up, I used to love game shows on TV. Anyone can relate to that? One of my favorite, only started a little bit later on when I was in my teenage years, was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I believe it's still going. I thought it was the coolest show on earth, especially because I was trying really hard to get to those answers before the other people could. And I phoned friends in the living room by speaking to my dad because he usually knew all these answers. But it was such a great experience. For me, I felt like a millionaire every time I got the answer right. I didn't need the money. I just wanted to know that I can get this right. There was another one I used to love called Small Talk. Anyone remember that one? It's about these kids that were asked all these difficult questions, and then some of them would answer the most bizarre things you could ever imagine, and some of them were really clever, and they had these answers, and everyone was just like, wow, how does the kid know this? So grow up loving game shows. These days, I realize it's not such a big thing anymore. Apparently, Noot for Noot is still going. I don't know. But living in the Smith house, Noot for Noot is being played every day because there's a whole lot of singing and there's guessing whose song is this, what does the lyrics say. But I want you to indulge me a little bit this morning, and I want us to have a game show moment. You would have received a true and false card as you came in this morning. I can imagine you trying to figure out, what is the T and F for? Is it for thunder and flashing? Or for tea and Fanta? Or whatever things you could have come up with. But we're going to take a moment. We're going to have a session of true and false, or true or false rather. And this is how it's going to work. I've got a few things that I'm going to read. If it's true, then you put up the true facing out so that everyone can see that you think it's true. Let's try. 1, 2, 3, true. Here we go. Look at that. It's a beautiful picture. If it's false, then you go with the F. Okay, great. Now, I know how this works. Some are going to wait to see what the others say. Some might give someone a little bit of a side, like, what is it? What is it? I want you to act quickly and rapidly and get to your answer as quickly as you can. So you guys ready? Wow, Eugene's ready. Eugene, a million for you. You've just won. Are you guys ready? You've got to be sharp. Great. First statement. Today is the 22nd of August, 2024. Ooh, you see. Ah, you better listen well. It's this 27th of August, 2023. I am not going to repeat some things I'm hearing being shouted my way. Second, true or false statement. An ant, I'm not talking about ant, but an ant can lift 1,000 times its body weight. Okay, it seems like we're leaning true. It is false. Ants can lift 5,000 times their body weight. Yeah. Feels like a game show already. Third one. The goat is the national animal of Scotland. True or false? Ah. Eugene, didn't you used to live there? Okay, it seems like we might have a 50-50. The answer is false. It is a unicorn. I guess if you eat a whole lot of haggis, you come up with ideas like that. Fourth statement. The All Blacks' previous heaviest loss to the Springboks was in 1928. That is true. In 1928, the All Blacks lost to the Springboks 17-0 in Durban. Those of you guys who enjoyed Twickenham on Friday, it was quite a moment. Okay, number five. China has the longest coastline in the world. True or false? Oh, this is an interesting one. I see a lot of people who did pay attention in geography. It is false. The winner is Canada With 151,000 miles. That's amazing. That's pretty big. Number six, coffee is a berry-based beverage. Ah, okay. I can see all the coffee drinkers go, that's true. I drink my berries 3 times a day. I'm healthy. I get in my vitamins. It is, in fact, true because the berries grow on the trees. Then they get dried out, and then they get roasted, and they become coffee beans, but they come from berries. Next one. Humans lose more than 80% of heat through their feet. It's gross, right? Okay, we've got a divided room again. The answer is false. 80% of our heat is lost through the head. You guys are clever. I like this next one. French fries originated in France. You guys are so clever. This is an amazing, clever church. That is, in fact, false. It originated in Belgium. Belgium. The next statement. This statement is true. Hurt people hurt people. It is indeed false. People hurt people. People hurt people. So I want you to respond to this next statement. And if it's true to you, you can raise, you don't have to. I've been hurt or offended by someone. And then my last true or false question, and you don't have to respond. I've hurt or offended someone. This morning, we're going to talk about holding on to forgiveness. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. That when we think of your word, never will the F come up, the false, but it stands with a big T, true over everything. And I pray, Lord, as we look about and into the truth of your word, that your truth will come to our hearts and that we would align to that. Help us this morning to hold on to forgiveness, because this is your heart. We open our ears to receive your word, and I pray that you help me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you guys all feel that? Because it affects every one of us. And we are in this series where we talk about holding on to relationships and what it is to receive and to give love. And this morning, we will discover what it means to receive and give forgiveness. It's one of the hardest things in life, but it's probably one of the most powerful. And even as I'm speaking, a very true statement, some of you already have faces, moments, names, stories in your mind and heart. About 4 or 5 months ago in April, the Washington Post released what they believed was a revolutionary article about a professor at the Virginia Commonwealth University, Professor Everton Worthington, who wrote a study book on forgiveness. And they took this study book and they sent it across the world to over 5,000 people participating in different nations. And this was their conclusion. Forgiveness is good for you. And it promotes better mental and physical health. When I read that, I want to go, duh. But it's revolutionary in our society today. In fact, if you go a little bit deeper into the global idea of forgiveness and where this idea is really coming, it goes only as far back as the 80s when President Jimmy Carter took some money and he funded the likes of Desmond Tutu and others to research forgiveness and what forgiveness can do in society. Now, with all due respect to Professor Everton, Jimmy Carter, Desmond Tutu, and the likes, this morning I want to go to the great forgiver's thoughts on forgiveness. Because way before 1980, when money was given to figure this out, Jesus spoke about forgiveness. Last week we learned about the fact that he's made covenant with us. And because of his covenant towards us, which means a relationship that remains intact through all things, he is always forgiving. But today I want us to look at what Jesus said. And we don't have enough time to look at all of it, but look into his words and also his actions when it comes to forgiveness. So many of us know the Father's Prayer. Don't say true or false. You tell us whether you know it or not. But so many of us know it. But there is this part where it says, "Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." We know it. We can say it. We can recite it. We pray it. But what I find interesting is in Matthew chapter 6, right after that, right when the prayer is done, Jesus stops to say, there's one part of this prayer that I quickly want to explain to you. So the prayer is done, and then Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's the word and the words of Jesus this morning. Do we pray the Father's Prayer, but we don't receive all of its benefit because in here we haven't forgiven others? Mark chapter 12, Jesus speaks, says, "Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." So let's just be very, very simple here. If someone decides to hit me in the face today, and he says, "I'm sorry," and I say, "I forgive you," and he does it again, same day, he says he's sorry, I say, "I forgive you." 7 times in the day, Jesus said. Some of us hold on to something that one person has done to us once, many years ago. What I love about Jesus, what Jesus is saying here is, you do rebuke him. He doesn't say there's no truth in what happened. The truth is there and the truth is right. And I love how Aunt prayed this morning. This is wrong. What's happening to our friends in Zimbabwe and that nation is wrong. Let's call it what it is. Yet, we must forgive. And then Jesus and Peter have this conversation. Peter came up to him and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Probably referring to the previous one that we just read. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. The other translation would say it's 70 times 7. What does it even mean? And then Jesus told the story of a king in his kingdom, and this king in his kingdom have all these servants that need to be stewards of that which they have, but also some of these servants have made debt with the king and the kingdom. And there's this one particular guy who has made so much debt that he sold everything he had. And then he came with his money after he sold everything and he brought it to the master and he said, "Here's all I can repay." But it was still not enough. And Jesus' story goes on about this king or this master who then says, "I have pity on you. You don't have to repay the rest." you are free to go. But this man who has now received that from the master then goes out because there are those that he has borrowed to that owe him the money or the consequences of their borrowing. And he goes to them and he treats them harshly and says, everything you owe, you better bring back to me. If you read about the language in what Jesus used, he actually used actual money. So let's say the guy that was forgiven 1 million rand, but then he goes and he asks people who owe him 100 rand to pay it back on the spot. And Jesus said this of this master. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then I shiver at the next words of Jesus. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, where do we start in all of this? Because I suspect, if I just compare my own journey in preparing for this message, that all of us are feeling the truth hitting our hearts, real hard this morning. And that's where we will start, is we will start with the truth of what Jesus has said. But I want to go back to that last question I asked in our little game show moment. Have you ever hurt or offended someone? The truth is we all have. And Romans 3 verse 23 says it like this. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's the truth. That is the one truth that we can all relate to. All of our stories of forgiveness looks different. But here is the one true thing this morning, friends. This is the one true statement that I can say is that all of us have made mistakes and we have fallen short of God's glory and His standard in our lives. We owe a lifetime of debt for all the wrongs we have done. Think about the many times that you have offended someone else. Think about the many times that you have even offended God in your actions and your thoughts. But Romans 3 verse 23 turns into Romans 3 verse 24. Yet God, there's still God, in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Friends, that's the story of our faith. It's the story of the guilty, the offenders being made right. Being made right. And if we want to reflect the Lord and we want to do what Jesus says, we should aim to let those who offended us be seen as right in our eyes. God, through Jesus, forgives us. He has freely given to us. We have freely received. Now let's freely give. This is what this message and this series is all about. We have received that love. Therefore, we have to give it. Now this morning, there's going to be three categories of people we will look at. We're going to look at the forgiven. We're going to look at the forgiven, not forgiving. And then we're going to look at the forgiven and forgiving. And all three of us will find ourselves in all three of these categories. It's not a game show. I'm telling you up front what the answer is. But here we go. If you accepted Jesus Christ, if you are born again by the Spirit, if you identify with His death and resurrection, have placed your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are forgiven. Then that last statement of you making mistakes, even if it is so true, is covered by the word forgiven over your life this morning. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, when God sees us, he sees us where our record of wrongs is nailed to the tree, and he sees us forgiven. Now, there's this idea that God forgets in his omniscience, which means he knows everything about everything. He cannot forget because he does know everything. But the Bible does teach us that when we come and we repent from our sins, he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. He blots it out totally, and he has chosen through the Son, Jesus Christ, to not have that demand on us anymore. But this is the greatest truth this morning, is that we are forgiven. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before you could say sorry for your sin, Jesus took it upon him to die for it. So that you can be forgiven. And then Jesus didn't only teach about this and didn't only went to the cross. There's this beautiful moment which is utterly and profoundly painful for Jesus, where he is being crucified to the tree, crucified to the cross. And while they drive the nails through his hands, he prays this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Our Jesus giving up his life, and as life is running out of him, he says, "Forgive, forgive, forgive, forgive." Through and in Christ, man, we've received so much. Total forgiveness. We are the forgiven because of what he has done. And forgiveness is all about receiving that love from him, but then also giving that love to others. If we let forgiveness only terminate in me and the Lord and our journey, we only have half of the coin. Let me remind you what Jesus said. You can pray this prayer, but unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. It's important to note that forgiveness is not denial. It's not saying, "No, it never happened. No, it's not true. No, you know what? No, it's not that bad." Forgiveness is the ability to face evil and what took place full on in the face and still choose from our hearts to forgive. Because that's what God has done for us. He looked upon all the evil in the world. He saw all our sins. He saw that we would turn our hearts away from him time and time again. And yet he chose the cross so that we can be forgiven today. Which brings me to the second group. And all of us have been here at times. Some of us might dwell here. I need a move on this morning. But that's the forgiven, but not forgiving. Words that come to mind is the word grudge. Or statements like, "Ugh, I hate him. Don't want to see her. Don't want to speak to them ever again." Revenge. "Justice will be served. Serves them right. They deserve that." What did you deserve? Vengeance, a big word, but didn't the Lord say, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. True or false statement? The biggest movie box office weekend ever is Avengers Endgame. It's true. Because the world loves it. Going to take it upon us to go serve them right and sort this out. And Peter struggles with this. He comes to Jesus like, "Jesus, help." Now, just before Jesus was asked by Peter how many times to forgive, Jesus actually said something that is also so important in the message that I didn't put it on there, but go and read it, Matthew 18. If There's a vibe between you and your brother. If something happened, if something took place, if your brother or sister, whoever in your life, when I say brother, just hear me. This is not just your physical brother, like anyone. If someone that you are walking in this life with has done anything to you, what do? Go tell your friends, right? Don't ever speak to them again, right? Run to your spouse and tell them about it and have endless pillow conversations about how this person has done me wrong. Right? That's what we should do. As if that has ever served us in any way. No, Jesus said if your brother, your sister, anyone that you walk with has done you wrong, you go to them. And you tell them, like we read in Mark, tell them that they've got to repent. They were wrong. And then it says that if they repent, then you reconcile and you've won a brother and you can continue to walk in this life. But if they don't, then you just don't write them off. You go a second time and you take someone along and you says, hey, this is what happened. This is the vibe. Help. And hopefully by the second time when there's a witness, they might get the idea that, sure, you really, I did do you wrong. And then it says if they don't repent, you can move on from the relationship. And then Peter said, Jesus, but help me. How many times do I go back? How many times do I forgive? And this is where Jesus said, 70 times 7. I thought about this. You know what? We don't have the ability to erase our memory. And forgiveness doesn't take the pain away. The pain gets better over time. It's like a wound. It takes time to heal. But if I've got a big cut on my arm, and maybe a year from now I hit the arm on that cut, I'm going to feel a little bit more than just a usual hit because there's some trauma, there's some history, there's something that happened there. And Jesus knew this. He knew that Peter, in his walk through life, will have moments where his best friend stab him in the back. I've got 3 stories that I'm not telling this morning, but my closest friends stabbed me in the back massively. You know what? Followers of Jesus, love the Lord. It was some of the deepest pain I've been through. So every time I hear their name or I see their face, I feel it in here, right? Because there's memory. Cannot get away from the memory. But then I will hear the words of the great forgiver. 70 times 7. Forgive again. Choose again. Say that it's okay again. Take care of your heart again. Every single time. That's what Jesus said when he said 70 times 7. Some of us want to be forgiven, to receive the work of the cross, to stand and sing the songs of our salvation. But we are not forgiving to others. It ends there. And again, I want to read the words of Jesus. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is why we've got to preach the whole gospel. And not just, hey, you're forgiven, buddy. You're good with Jesus. Run this race. It's awesome, right? Anyone who wants to be my disciple should sit down and work out the cost. And daily take up your cross, which means die to yourself and follow me. And that's part of it. In order to follow him and call yourself a disciple of Jesus, you've got to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. That's what Jesus was alluding to. He says, it becomes a way of life. It becomes every time that something comes up, every time there's hurt, every time there's disappointment, every time the memory recalls what happened in this moment or that time, you say, I choose forgiveness. I choose forgiveness. I choose forgiveness. We see it in the story of God's people that Simeon so beautifully described last week. Covenant, they walked and time again, they broke their relationship with God. But God turns and says, I choose forgiveness because he is the great forgiver. It's in his nature, it's in his character. And we are called to resemble him in this earth. And as we become more like Christ, we mirror the Father to this world. So we ought to be forgiving people. Lewis Smeats, who's a theologian who really spent a lot of his time and work on the idea of forgiveness, said this: "You will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and you feel the urge to wish them well." You'll know that forgiveness started working here when you see that person or hear that name, and in your heart you're like, "I bless them. I bless their life. I bless what they might have." Now you see, sometimes we think unless there's complete relational restoration, forgiveness hasn't taken place, and that is also not the truth. Sometimes we go our different ways of life and we don't have that complete reconciled relationship with those people. But at least we know in here in our hearts we have truly forgiven. And when we do see them, we are able to have relationship because we started to wish them well. It might not be like it was before, but before our Father, forgiveness has come. And in the third category that I know all of us have been in, but this is really where we should and ought to be living every day of our lives, is to be forgiven and forgiving. To receive love and to give love. This is where Jesus has called all of us to live. I love the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Before you come to worship me and you come to the altar bringing an offering, before you do that, make sure that that thing between you and your brother is sorted out. Otherwise, I will not accept your offering." Modern day version, 27th of August, 2023. Before you sing songs of praise with your church, if here in your heart there's still something between you and someone else, go sort that out first. Then I'll receive your worship. Jesus has a whole lot to say about this, right? And in this church, we follow Jesus together. So I want to do what he says. Let's go to Paul for a moment. Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." What Paul is saying is there is this way, there's this lifestyle, there's this forgiveness journey that you should be going on. And I love how it's linked with the grieving of the Holy Spirit. He says, don't grieve the Spirit. Live in forgiveness. Kindness, compassion to one another. R.T. Kendall wrote that he believes the primary way we grieve the Holy Spirit is to harbor bitterness in our hearts. And I understand that, because what happens is we go through our life, we hear the words of Jesus this morning, and the Holy Spirit tells you, you ought to forgive, and you're like, And then you know what, maybe you should send that message like, my battery is dead, I can't use my phone. Or maybe after this morning, you know that you're going to have a conversation like, I'm first going to go. And then the Holy Spirit says, you've got to forgive. And you just keep saying no to that voice. That's what grieving the Holy Spirit means. It's to hold the idol of your pain so high that you cannot let it fall down and worship through forgiveness. So I want to ask you this morning to play this game with me once more. True or false statement? You are forgiven. You are forgiving. As you hold that up, I believe through this morning the Holy Spirit has brought someone to mind. There's a relationship. And as you hold up the truth that you are forgiven, I want you to see the F, not as false, but as forgiveness. So if we are forgiven, that's the truth. If we have received this forgiveness, can we live it? And we ought to, because that's what Jesus wants and asks of us. And we can because of what he has done at the cross. So this morning, I want to end with these words: forgive today. Lewis Smead said this: to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. And I believe that by the loving power of Jesus Christ and the working of his Holy Spirit and us hearing his truth, that he wants to set some of us free from our prisons. Because that's what he does. The great forgiver is the great liberator who steps into our life and he breaks the chains of that thing that's been holding us back. And if there's anyone who knows, and I love the prophetic word we received this morning, that there's this chamber in our hearts we're too scared to open up, might be too hurtful to speak about or even think about, if there's unforgiveness there, forgive today. The funny thing about forgiveness is, might not feel great, probably won't. The situation on the other side of the relationship might not change at all. In fact, you might speak to that individual and he or she might never say sorry. But in here, you know that you are honoring your Father and you're living like Jesus in this world. Freely you have received, therefore freely give forgiveness. We're going to be playing some music. And all I want you to do is to take time. I'm going to put those words up, forgive today. I don't know what actions you need to take. And let me say this. Sometimes you've got to work through a little bit of a journey in your heart before you actually speak to the other party. Because you just got to get your heart. If that's all you do this morning is you say, God, I want to align to what Jesus said. Start there. It's a good start. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will show you some relationships. I believe that there are even families in this room who've got to turn to one another today and forgive. Say, I'm sorry. Stand in the forgiveness of what we have received and extending that to one another. So as the music starts playing, Lord Jesus, I pray for your church this morning. You didn't say it would be easy to follow you, Lord, but we do know that on the other side of following you is abundant life. You've never made us to dwell in the prison of unforgiveness in our hearts towards anyone. And this morning, Lord, I believe that you want to set people free from their prison. Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us the ability this morning to choose to forgive. Lord, be it a spouse, be it an ex-spouse, be it a mom or a dad, be it a brother or a sister, a friend, a co-worker, a boss, an employee. Lord, be it the leaders of our nation. Lord, we choose to forgive today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, will you stop at every heart and show them where to forgive. Thank you that you are speaking to your church through your word, through your spirit. And we're ready to hear.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have forgiven us. We do not deserve your forgiveness. And yet you gave it to us. So we say thank you, Lord. I love this. Forgive today. For some of you, perhaps the greatest need is that you receive forgiveness. You know, all of us have done stuff that is wrong. And sometimes there's guilt and there's shame that stops us receiving His forgiveness. You cannot love until you first have been loved. You cannot forgive until you firstly have received forgiveness from Him. So I also want to ask that you receive, open your hearts to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Whatever it is that you have done, there's no sin so great that it can match His loving forgiveness. He forgives everything that we have done. So receive that forgiveness today. I said, forgive today, but what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? I love that saying, forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and then to find out that it's you. Please do not go back into the bondage of unforgiveness, because tomorrow there will be an opportunity for you to be offended by somebody or something. We live in that kind of world where, as nice as we want to be, we offend one another, we hurt one another, we disappoint one another, we let each other down. So stay in that attitude of forgiveness. In the book of Hebrews, the writer said, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble by which many are defiled. Do not miss the grace of God by holding on to unforgiveness." Let it go. All right. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you set us free. Help us to stay free. And I pray, Lord, your blessing, your grace, your peace upon these beautiful people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you help us, Lord, because we're weak and we need you, Lord. And we remember to hold up our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe, Lord, and speak to us, Lord God, about how we can be a part of making a difference there. The blessing of God be upon you all. In the name of Jesus, amen.